cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Lori.
That is correct. And today, well, I've got one for you. It is full of drama and jealousy and blood. And, you know, it's one thing to, like, commit a murder, like, in secret.
Yeah.
This is not the case. Today we're stepping back more than a century to a case that had all the ingredients of a Hollywood thriller. Wealth, beauty, jealousy, and murder. You know?
This sounds very dramatic.
It is. That's why I'm so excited today. It's the story of Harry Thaw, the playboy millionaire who shot Stanford White, one of the most famous architects of his time, in front of hundreds of people. You know, like Hollywood movie for real.
Yeah.
At the center of it all, a young woman named Evelyn Nesbitt, once called the most beautiful girl in America. Of course, it was a woman. At the middle of a fight between two men. What else would it be?
Yeah.
What else? Okay, so the early 1900s were known as the Gilded Era. A time of vast wealth for some and extreme poverty for others. So if you look as they went into, especially going into like the 1920s.
Yeah.
They're like, the world had just had war. We had just had World War One, and you had some people who were extremely rich, and they were the people, if you think about, the best way I can explain it is, you know, Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
The people with the money who had parties, and they were selling illegal alcohol, and they had millions. And then you had the people, there were literally people in the 1920s in the Great Depression who would sell their children.
That's crazy.
No, they would sell their children in a hopes that children would have a better life because they could not feed their kids. It was an interesting era in history. Okay.
Can't say that again.
Among the wealthy elite was Stanford White, the celebrated architect who designed New York icons like Madison Square Garden. It's pretty big deal, okay?
Yeah.
But White had a dark side. He was known for his affairs with young women.
Oh no.
Some barely out of their teens. Side eye. One of them was Evelyn Nesbitt, a teenage chorus girl whose beauty made her a celebrity long before Instagram ever could. Evelyn was just 16. 16, guys. Small baby girl still. When she caught Stanford White's eye, he showered her with gifts, attention, and access to the glamorous world of New York high society. And those people had money.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like fake money. This is like the equivalent of today Dubai money. That's the best way I can describe it. But behind the glitter, there were darker truths. Evelyn later claimed White had taken advantage of her, drugging her in his lavish apartment. Whether or not these are entirely accurate is another question, but their relationship was scandalous and it would become deadly once another man entered the picture. Harry Thaw was the heir to a massive Pittsburgh fortune. But he wasn't just rich, he was also unstable, known for his violent outburst and erratic behavior. That never works well when you're unstable and you have money.
Yeah.
Ends up quite bad. Thaw became obsessed with Evelyn. He courted her aggressively, promising marriage, wealth, and devotion. Evelyn eventually married him. Okay, I won't lie. This was stupid on her part. Like, if you can see a guy is that, it's not going to change when the ring's on the finger. I'm sorry to say, it's just going to get worse. But Thaw was consumed with jealousy, especially over her past relationship with Stanford White. He came to see White as his mortal enemy because we are superheroes living in a superhero world where one has a mortal enemy. You know what I'm saying? It's like Batman and the Joker. It's a bit fictional if you ask me. In Thor's mind, White had ruined Evelyn. And that sin demanded blood.
Oh my word.
Like, when you choose to love a woman, you kind of have to... Especially, let's say, Evelyn was mistreated. And I guess, like Stanford could have done things, but then take it to the police, open a case, let him be arrested. Like, this whole vengeance is mine, eye for an eye thing doesn't work. It never works.
Yeah, it never does.
Okay.
It always ends up ugly.
It does. And that's what happened. On June 25th, 1906, New York High Society gathered at Madison Square Garden's rooftop theater, one of White's own creations, for a musical performance. Harry Thor was there too, with Evelyn by his side. As the show went on, Thor spotted Stanford White sitting at a nearby table. Without warning, Thor pulled out a pistol and shot White 3 times in the face at point blank range. Imagine, there's your music. I promise you, I would have had a heart attack. I would be lying on the floor, like gasping for air. That's not the evening you expected when you're going to watch a musical performance, okay? In the face, that must have also been really messy.
Yeah.
Oof. Everything flying everywhere.
Wouldn't
want to
look at that face again.
No, and imagine everything would have flown everywhere, brain splattered. Oh, sis, no. No. No, thank you. Panic erupted in the theater. People screamed, fled, and ducked under tables. And Thor calmly declared, "I did it because he ruined my wife." If your wife was ruined, why did you marry her?
Eish.
Good question to be asking before you put on the ring. The press had a field day. Every newspaper splashed the story across its front pages. Evelyn Nesbit became the most talked about woman in America. Her face was on every magazine cover. Harry Thor's trial became known as the trial of the century. His defense? Insanity. And honor. His lawyers argued that he was mentally unstable, driven by a righteous fury to protect his wife's virtue. But you see, this is where I also think it's a little bit messed up, right? All this happened with Stanford before they got married.
Yeah.
Right? Which I think is a very different story if Stanford had, like, assaulted her while they were married.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because she wasn't technically his wife when it happened. So it would be more sense he would be more angry and wanting to protect her virtue while they were married. So after they got married, if she was completely committed to him, she wasn't with Stanford at all, it like begs the question that she had left that part of her past behind.
Yeah.
And Stanford was no longer in the picture. But I suppose mentally insane people don't make sense.
Not at all.
Evelyn testified in gruesome detail about her past with Stanford White, fueling the narrative that White was a predator and Thor was avenging her. The jury couldn't agree, and the first trial ended with a hung jury. That means they can't decide. At the second trial in 1908, Thor was found not guilty by the reason of insanity. He was committed to a mental institution where he lived in relative comfort for years. For shooting somebody in the face. Must be nice.
Yeah.
Evelyn Nesbit's life after the trial was tragic. She was used by lawyers, exploited by the press, and left penniless by Thor. She later struggled with addiction and faded into, well, history, I suppose. Harry Thor was eventually released from the asylum in 1915. What? That's, when did he shoot this man? 1906. So that's 9 years later.
Yeah.
But his violent temper never left him. He faced more arrests later in life, though none as infamous as the murder of Stanford White. And we were speaking about this last week. I don't understand how somebody who is declared insane kills somebody, gets put in a mental asylum, gets let out, and then is constantly rearrested, there should be a light bulb moment that maybe we need to put this person somewhere for good. Do you know what I'm saying?
And throw the keys away.
Throw the... Wild. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of mental patients never leave the mental asylums. And I think that should be the case, especially if you are criminally insane.
Yeah.
Like, you're... Because there's mental people who don't commit crimes. They just have problems. Isn't it mentally and has committed a crime even, like... needs more attention, like exclamation mark NB on this page, highlight in red.
I just also feel like these days people just easily fall into that category of
no,
you know?
And I do agree these days, but yeah. This was the 1900s. That wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, true.
We didn't have a population where 50%, I'm very much, don't quote my stats, I'm just making a statement, yeah. Like 50% claim to have anxiety or depression. They didn't have that. In those days, when you were criminally insane or you were mentally insane, there were, like, you were schizophrenic, you were bipolar, like, you were a harm to society.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to a therapist and I'll get some pills and I'll be fine. These people were proper insane.
You actually had to, like, lock them up.
Probably you had to lock them up
in solitary confinement or something.
Exactly. So for me, again, why was he let out? He shot a man at point blank range in front. He didn't even care about what that trauma would do to other people. In front of people, in front of his wife, for Pete's sakes. Like, there's something incredibly wrong there. And the fact that they released him and he was arrested again on other occasions, it's not one arrest, it was arrests. There is clearly a problem here.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't understand how we can keep letting people out on the streets. They keep reoffending and we keep letting them out. Like, make that make sense. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Anyway, but yeah, I thought this was quite an interesting case. Like I said, it's quite a dramatic case, but it really shows Harry Thor clearly had also some identity issues that he didn't think. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, he had identity issues within himself and his marriage.
Yeah.
That he would be so obsessed and so jealous over this past relationship. Now, I don't know how long they had been split. They could have been split for 2 years. They could have been split for a month. I'm not sure. I don't have those details. But still, it was in the past. And there was nothing to indicate that she was still having a relationship. Like I said, that would be very different if she was still having a relationship with Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very, very different... still doesn't justify killing Stanford, but it is a different story. And I think more of a motive than just a past relationship. I mean, if we were all judged on our past relationships, I don't think anybody would ever get married.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's in the past. Those relationships ended for a reason. So, like I said, very interesting case. I do think he was... I don't know if he was fully mentally insane, but there was definitely a break there.
Yeah.
If I can... So, I mean, he's not, like, mentally ill with, like, schizophrenia or something like that, but there was definitely something wrong.
Yeah.
But that was it for this case. Do you have anything else you would like to add, say...
No, just like you said, there is definitely identity problems there. Obviously, just looking at the whole nature of the case, it just doesn't make sense. Obviously, speaking about the fact that the relationship has passed, and obviously that relationship that has passed shouldn't have any effect on what was the current state. So again, it's kind of like he was kind of finding something or someone to blame.
No, 100%, and he just blamed the person that he knew. And I mean, Evelyn could have been in multiple relationships before she got married, but the Stanford was a well-known person. He had a name. It's like blaming, it's like all these people who go shoot up a school because they blame something, and it's like grabbing onto something. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It's like blaming people for what's actually going on inside of you instead of fixing what's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
Looking in the mirror and being like, okay, I have a problem here. I can't get over the fact that my wife was in this relationship. It's bugging me. It freaks me out. What do I do to fix that? It's taking your problems, placing it on a person, and then killing that person. Now, like I said, Stanford was known to mistreat the woman. I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong. I'm not saying he didn't hurt Evelyn. I'm not saying that. But it's still not an excuse to kill. Two wrongs don't make a...
Right.
Exactly. Well, that is all for the show. Is there anything else? Nothing that you'd like to add? No. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM is everywhere. Go find us and click that button. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in interesting discussions, voice your opinions, and get updates by following us on social media. Spread the word. It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.